Good evening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Peripheral Visions by Antonia Betts. We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the United States of America. This is another episode of Perfect Kingdom Network, which offers you much to be able to talk about, hopefully update you on your recent information, and to make you feel entertained. The telephone number to listen is 323-870-4174. Again, that is 323-870-4174. And please press the number 1 and the pound sign to talk to the host. To listen on the internet, please type www.blogtalkradio.com. That is www.ogtalkradio.com. And type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Betts, the spelling P-E-R-I-P-H-E-R-A-L, space, V-I-S-I-O-N-S, space, by, B-Y, space, Antonia, A-N-T-O-N-I-A, space, Betts, B-A-T-T-S. And if you can select either live shows or title at that bar, you can definitely listen to review the previous shows. Tonight's show is titled "The Pandemic Virus Goes Into Another Stage of Being Resolved as We Move Ahead." Will it be successful or not? Will there be a success story, or will we continue with business as usual? Let's examine its present state. Plus, will the economics of it all help us or hurt us? We will see. And the stimulus check situations. There will be another vote on a second stimulus check. But the list of persons who be offered to will be voted upon. In other words, anybody outside of the citizens of the United States. Are they questionable, the reasons? Have the first ones been received yet? And civil unrest had continued to cause unrest between both citizens and lawmakers when it comes to enforcing the law and other matters. Will it ever end? Events? Well, Memorial Day weekend is coming up this weekend. If you would like to get away this Memorial Day weekend, have a barbecue or visit a park or a beach with restrictions requested. We will hopefully provide some updates following this information. So again, good evening, everyone. For the past 2 weeks, there was so much evolving from the events involved about the coronavirus. COVID-19 pandemic. Well, that's the name we know it by also. And that was announced in early March. And to bring it forward, It was until then there had been many concerns and actions about many things and people, of course. First and foremost, almost 2 million people died worldwide, and about 90,000 of them were from the United States, as reported as of last week. The deaths had never stopped occurring. The lack of tests that were available in some states were significantly smaller than in others. You would think that some others states would share if they have an extreme excess. And the protective equipment like masks, gloves and gowns and other medical supplies at those medical facilities are depleting as they still rush to save lives. The citizens practically all over the world were urged to stay at home, and it had worked for some countries, but not for others as much yet as recorded. It is still present in most countries, but understandably South Korea and a few other countries have been rescued from having quite as high numbers after practicing the suggested safe distancing and wearing of a mask and sanitary cleaners to a company that needs to be able to sanitize as you go about your day. They said that the spray from the cough that occurs as a result of the virus, once a person will cough, could spread about 6 feet wide, of course, and can linger approximately 8 minutes long, but that's not necessarily 100% foolproof. The economic state for the workplace had been challenged because of the suffering of the citizens behind things such as death occurrences, the need to shut down places because of the extreme amount of time that it had evolved from Wuhan, China, back in December the 31st, actually, of 2019, but had definitely went to other countries with rapidity. Actually, some of it, when it had first occurred or been noticed, it appears that they've been tracing it to New York City because it is a metropolitan city with a lot of heavy traffic from the populations that come through the airports and then some. Many have heard of terminology and questions that were imposed upon us, such as stay at home, put on your mask, wash your hands, wear your gloves. In other words, everyone, the plastic gloves that you see people wear mostly in hospitals, but they are available for sale in the markets and other places. They also say avoid the emergency room. Some will say social distancing, please. Some will say essential workers only. They recommend that some essential workers occupy only the areas that they have to, only because you don't want to expose the general public. They say share the PPEs, which are the medical equipment that I had mentioned previously. Another person would ask, who started this? Well, for those of us who have not been aware, it had supposedly originated in Wuhan, China, and it was possibly due to a particular worker who worked in a medical laboratory setting, went to a market there in Wuhan. Possibly the liquids have leaked from the stuff when it got on him, and let's just say it was history from there. And once it had started to spread on the meats, possibly, that are eaten in China, that's where that definitely took its course. There's another question like, where's the treatment? Because we hear so many different types of treatment. One of them being used reportedly by the President of the United States, which is something like hydrochloride, and there are many others. Now, this is one because it doesn't exist. Another question that's imposed is, where's the vaccine? There's none of yet, as of yet. There's a question about no stimulus checks. Because it was said by the United States president there will be the stimulus checks of approximately $1,200, which would be given to the citizens because of a financial strife that is imposed on the citizens. There's another question, which is, the virus, does it relapse? But back to the stimulus checks prior to going on. Some people said they haven't received them. It was a record of set going on record that April 15th would be the date it'll be distributed. And there were times when people have definitely received the stimulus checks, but they did not receive the checks only for themselves, but for some maybe dead relatives or whatever. And so, you know, that made other people who didn't receive their checks at all wonder why. Well, dead people get it, but they don't get it yet. And so as I mentioned, another question was the virus. Can you relapse from it? Well, even though some people have not only gone into remission, but they've actually pretty much licked the whole virus because, you know, for a good while there was no relapse. I'm saying there was no remission. People were just dying off rapidly. And thanks to the intense care that even caused, unfortunately, the death of some medical facilitators, yes, doctors and nurses and whoever, with them catching it, it had spread onto some of the people they tried to save. And eventually, from there, it caused, immense amounts of people across the world, millions upon millions of deaths in other countries, of course. And there's another question. Will businesses reopen? That is the million-dollar question, as the saying goes, because if businesses don't reopen, the economy would not only fail, but would suffer great losses, and we will discuss that. And another question is, limited restrictions, will they be enforced? And the question that was imposed about the restrictions being enforced is a big one to this very day, because there have been a lot of people who have rebelled over here in the United States because they thought that it was a little excessive, but time will tell, because some people have lifted the restrictions to not have them enforced and have been told that if they don't do it, then they're going to give them a certain amount of time to see if it'll work or not. Well, but rumor is the state of Georgia and maybe Mississippi, some others, have actually had the numbers to increase of deaths after a few days of seeing that it didn't work. And I'm quite sure they meant, well, basically by the pressure of the people who have small businesses and who would like to go to some stores that have been closed. But this is what happens. And this is another big question. Well, what can kill the virus? Well, of course, there's no actual remedy for it yet. But it has been said that it isn't cold, like some people would say, that kills the virus because it's so cold and it'll linger. But actually, heat kills the virus. So we will see as we approach the summer months very soon, or just the warmer weeks period, and we'll get an idea that might be a contributor. We won't know for a fact, but it doesn't hurt to at least monitor it based on your self-observation. Another question is, does self-quarantine works? Many people had quarantined themselves if they were in, especially in the early stages of the virus, because if they received medicine possibly and they quarantined themselves and made themselves remote from other people, then the likelihood was predicted that some will survive under those conditions. And they were in that position to be able to do that. Now, if you're homeless living on the streets, that will be almost a null and void situation. It won't happen as easily. Then there's another question. Dead bodies, will they be decimated? In other words, how would they be disposed of, and who are these people? How is it that it's handled the way it is? Some people believe that dead bodies are dishonored, and they are just definitely not given the proper sending off that they need. Well, some of them, their family, it hurt them to their heart in the beginning of this discovery of the virus back in March, because they were not allowed to visit that relative because of the concern of the virus getting on to the family members. So that was a very disheartening thing amongst some families. But what about the people who live on the streets, not by choice, but by a particular thing, that whatever it is that put them out there, not necessarily by drugs, not necessarily by just mental health alone. Some of them didn't have mental health conditions that we know of, but they happened to be subjected to all this. Some people wanted to know, for the treatment, though, you know, the treatment like the different, you know, the different treatment medicines that were being given out, they want to know who will get that treatment. Would it be the general public, so they may stand a chance? Everybody can't afford it, and so they're wondering, how is that going to be administered? According to a general survey, it's supposed to be an understood thing that any and everybody who can come out of their situation should get treatment, because, of course, common sense will tell you that that'll be one less person or persons who will actually be able to spread it again if treatment caused it to go into remission. Some people say, out of these billions and trillions of all this is invested in this, who are actually recovering the tax losses paid for by the citizens here? Some people would like to know, what are the odds of recovering? And what are the odds of relapsing for it to reoccur? It is supposed to be, for the longest time, for example, more than a month, once you're over it, that's it. If anything, you could donate blood to a person who has the virus and could be of some help to cure them. But recently it's been reported that once in a blue moon, it's been discovered, some people can relapse and be back to square A on catching it again, not necessarily dying in most cases. Then there's an issue about the recovering of unemployment. People would like to know, is it still available? that you may want to go to your state political office, like a representative or the office of the governor, call up and see if there's a hotline number, City Hall, call and see if there's a hotline number, your local constituents like city council members, or just wherever you are, your representatives where you live, period. And then there was the question of children and school. Will they be able to go back to school? When will they go back to school? If they will go back to school? Well, it appears that many of the states have found their own way to resolve that matter, some because of the amount of people they have had to pass away from that, or whatever other statistics they come up with. The children, they have their own situation that they resolve. For example, if they can go back to school at all, and if they're out, then what would they do? Some parents choose to homeschool. Some places gave laptops to the students of the city. You know, many other things. And their situation with the children. At one point, they were saying children do not need a mask. You know, maybe at a certain age, maybe like under 12, for example. But realistically, some parents had said they're not taking any chances, and you've seen pictures of them covering even their children's mouths, which is nothing to ask for if you really care for a child that's out of the ordinary. Then there was a question about nursing homes. Will they reopen? Because definitely there has been a quarantine person placed on nursing homes, because in the very beginning there was a report that nursing homes seem to have many people who are way up in age who are affected by all of this. But more than a month later, or less than a month later, there have been some pretty remarkable stories about people who are like even in their 90s and above who have survived all of this. And it's amazing how not only did they survive it, but it was considered highly unusual because most people would consider them feeble, and they will feel as though that their system, their body system, will be compromised. But it only goes to show you, not necessarily everyone. So with that being said, the biggest concern was at one point the workers. Were they the ones accidentally dragging the virus into the facility they work at when they're caretakers or, you know, nursing staff or whoever? So I'm quite sure that they have been, if not tested, they've been suggested to cut the nursing staff down. The family members, if they wanted to go visit some relative in a nursing home or a rehab center, they'll look through the window to try to cheer them up and themselves up. And they're still dealing with that for sometimes, because they always want to be cautious. There's another question. Is the testing still available? Well, if all goes well, it should be. And if the states have tests that are excessive, as I mentioned before, why not share some of them? Because not only are you saving the people within your state or your medical facility, but you're saving yourselves from having another person to give the coronavirus to the next person who may eventually get it back to you. So there are a lot more particular things to talk about surrounding the subject of the COVID-19 pandemic. but considering all of that, there's still been a lot of support, a lot of distrust, a lot of concerns that we haven't even mentioned, a lot of compassion, of course, a lot of grieving, and lots of reasons to ask all of the above questions and more, especially when it involves the subjects of life and death. Who would ever believe that people of all kinds would donate homemade and professionally made masks to wear over your mouth and nose? It was especially made by people who sewed them on their machines at home, even the children. They would sew them by the hundreds, by the thousands. As a matter of fact, some people were buying the machine that would make a plastic mold that created the machines as well. That was remarkable. One person had reportedly made about 1,500 masks in one day, and those were the professional grade for mostly the medical workers who definitely had to be in touch with these people, I'm sure, to take care of them. But they also ask, if you do become a worker or a volunteer, still exercise caution, even though the numbers seem to dwindle gradually. When they say that they're plateauing, that means they're still actively dead bodies are being found and which have occurred from the virus, but at least it wasn't spiking, as they say, or rising to the extreme numbers that they have been known to rise to. But there's still an air of caution, especially by Governor Cuomo of New York, because they have an extremely large amount of people. New Jersey, that state has so many thousands of recorded deaths until it was outrageous, comparable to New York and then some. So people are definitely still paying attention for what they need to be able to exist and remaining cautious. There was a time they were suggesting, well, take your clothes off when you go home, wash the clothing. They suggested if people would also take their gloves and throw them away, or some people would wash them and recycle them. One time, recycling was really not an option, and recycling not being an option was the reason why it even sparked so many wonderful volunteers of all types to make the donation of what they thought they would get doing by giving back to the citizens like themselves. And it's wonderful to see we still have people with a heart, because unfortunately there are too many of them that don't have a heart. And especially if you don't consider that there are people out there who really never knew what it was like to practice basic sanitation, you know, just an everyday thing like washing their hands, as suggested. Some people had, the first thing they did when they went out there and sought things that would actually sanitize them was hand sanitizer, and it will run out just as fast as they'll get it in. They sprayed room disinfectant. They would run out to get toy tissue by the masses. I'm quite sure some people can open up a store at this point if you go, you know, examine what they may have in their storage units. But they'll definitely let the fact that it is their toilet paper stand firm, as well as their paper towels, I'm sure. Well, at this present time, the political administration, they also offered a resourceful stimulus package to all of the citizens. Let it be announced by the president, and definitely did it for the sake of hoping that they can continue to be able to live and get basic necessities until this pandemic has been approved to go from one stage, which was the worst, which was blue, eventually down to red, which was still not a good stage at all, down to wanting to be downgraded to yellow, which they're aiming for in the very near future, as a matter of fact, early this week. And with that being said, that doesn't resolve the whole matter yet, because the actual professionals who were medically appointed to the various staffs and to the various states, they definitely suggest that you still be careful, because there could become a second wave of a pandemic. Let's not panic. They didn't say it would be. The word is could be. You know, sometimes it takes just very little for something like this to resurface. So how do they say it out here? To err is caution. That means just to definitely just use your common sense and act as if this whole matter can't be resolved. Some children, when they are given the educational resources and they're given the food boxes during this pandemic, I hope that they are definitely fulfilling the needs to be able to stay in touch with the educational system in their city and or state, because after all, this is not a recess or a vacation, but they have the right to still live and let live for their own sake as well. Hopefully they're taking it seriously, and their parents or maybe someone within the recreational facilities in their neighborhoods are relaying the information, so it would just let them understand why all is going on, which is going on now. Now, there was an issue that I mentioned earlier about people who are, you know, definitely still being treated like a number, if that, not even that really. For example, there were doctors and nurses and essential workers and homeless who some don't have any relatives, and more people associated with the virus who have been obviously dead as a result of contributing their services. Even there are animals who contract the coronavirus. And would you believe that, you know, the military naval ship about a few weeks ago that had been had a captain removed from the ship because it was said that he leaked information, not deliberately, to a source about there had been recorded cases in the hundreds on that ship. And it was said that he may be reinstated if he hasn't been already. And they said that when he left the ship for the treatment and returned, only to be able to, you know, they wanted to know, would he be able to catch it again? But it had been said that there has, and this is by hearsay, there has been an increase since he's been gone of the number of ships, residents, which are the sailors, who have caught that virus. It went from like 120-something or 30-something up to approximately 500. I'm going by hearsay. And normally the average ship inhabits approximately 5,000 people, give or take a few. So considering that, they're definitely putting up a good fight. And to my understanding, the research is still pretty much in effect, just to hopefully find a cure for the virus, but it's at still the stages of being temporary additives to the medical pill community that will hopefully continue to solve some people's problems when they contract it. In addition, the opportunity for some of these people to suffer a relapse, there have been recorded messages about some people having a relapse or having had been for the first time caught that coronavirus and came to near death. So it's a good possibility through the medical research, which they said may have to be continued anywhere from late 2020 or sometime in the year 2021. There will be talk about creating future tests for people like that and in order for them to come into remission. But at least that's holding steady. And some of the people have been retrieved, noticeably, of course. And so the big question will be, when will that be? Well, as I mentioned, it's only a prediction because we're going by an estimation. But recently in the United States, there have been multi-thousands of protesters, as I mentioned before, who demanded lifting the restrictions, especially since there's been a high loss in financial earnings for themselves and their employees. Obviously, for those who have small businesses mostly, and for some big businesses who have declared bankruptcy and closed, and the new transition, hopefully for to be a return of the economy to be stable again, is still in a state of limbo, but not impossible. Some people have complained about they have not gotten their stimulus loans, mostly due to the fact that they were the small businesses. And they said there were other businesses, obviously on a larger scale, especially who have gotten some, and some who have went out of business. And so I'm sure there's a concern about, so how are the books being balanced with the budget, with all of this going on? Many people are looking to return to a state of normalcy, but it is not guaranteed as to when that will be. Now, regarding the issue of bodies, reportedly in New York, there were about 100 dead bodies in a U-Haul truck outside a funeral home with no refrigeration because they say space was not available. That was a few weeks ago that was reported. Since then, according to a person I know that work in the field of, let's just say, disposing or addressing bodies, there are even more bodies found in the same condition or worse because of the deterioration and they're excessive in numbers because there are various reasons why those bodies wound up there. So we ask, do we still lift the ban or should we still wait? Noticeably, the day before Memorial Weekend, many people were enjoying a walk on the boardwalk with maybe their family and or associates or friends. But the boardwalk in various beaches and what have you at one time, just only a week ago prior to that, they were saying that they can come on the boardwalk. You have to wear a mask in some places. They were saying this. And you are urged to practice social distancing. On the beach itself, they say you have to wear, well, you don't have to wear it necessarily, but you would like to be encouraged to have social distancing practice. Well, there are so many people out here, that's not 100% enforceable, but you would think out of respect for the next person, some people will go along with that. So, as we understand it, that occasionally masks were worn only, and they did still suggest that the citizens here will definitely be tested for the coronavirus, at least 500,000 tests per day, I believe. 50,000, 500,000, either one, but still a lot of people. And Governor Cuomo of New York stated strongly that he suggests more testing. Obviously, he knows something we don't know when he looked at the statistics. He said also, in his own words, though, besides what I mentioned, for economic reasons, many small business owners protest the closing of their businesses, causing them to financially suffer downfalls rapidly. Unless, though, they receive customers to pretty much be able to make earned income to survive. But according to CNN, they suggest that the president wants to place the responsibility on testing the citizens for treatment and testing purposes into the lap of the governors across the United States, because they would say it will make him seem blameless, unquote. They say citizens are fighting hard who want to reopen the small businesses, but there are other citizens who said they are not going to take a chance and going out there unless it is absolutely necessary, like to the markets, because they have compassion for the small businesses, but it's become an issue of citizens' lives versus financial earnings. But we have to all start from somewhere, so it is good that they try to enforce some degree of reasonable cooperation. And we're going to eventually discuss, hopefully, about a father and a son who shot to death in the state of Georgia for no apparent reason, a young man. And also, there have been many other officers over the years, once in a while, who occasionally were shot too. So what do we look at when we talk about that? And I'd like to mention about the Asian giant hornet, or if you call it the Asian, oh no, excuse me, call it the murder hornet, which is attacking the West Coast as of about a week and a half ago. So if everyone would please be patient, we're going to have Brother Rob Hudson give a call of salvation, because after all, God is the supreme person, or supreme being, that can turn around and pretty much guide us as to what we can do if we learn how to cooperate with the people down here that he created, because we trust that he is not going to fail the earth. Thank you very much. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes. Amen, Sister Antonia. That's right on point. You almost did the call of salvation. Yes, the call of salvation is very important. And I'm going to do the call of salvation, and I'm going to do the announcements, and I'm going to hand the show back over to your hands. And the call to salvation is pretty simple. You know, if you want to create that special bond with your Creator, the best way to do it is to just do it earnestly and say, hey, you know what, God, I'm a sinner. And I just don't understand how I let my sinful ways just take over. And I just know the ultimate sacrifice you did was you gave your only begotten Son to die for my sins. And once I realized that, I said, God, I've done did everything any kind of way I wanted to, and it's not working out pretty good. So you know what? I just want to let you know that I am going to turn my life over to you. And I accept the gift that you've given me, your Son, to die for my sins. And the one thing you want to do after you say that, after you had that earnest talk with God and say, hey, I will turn my life over. I have turned my life over. My life is in your hands. I thank you so much for having your Son die for my sins on the cross of Calvary. And once you admit that with your tongue, you're saved. Call someone, FaceTime them, do what you ever got to do. Just let someone know that you turn your life over to Christ. And it's just such a beautiful thing doing that. Once you do that, it seems like the whole mountain's been lifting off your shoulders. The next thing I suggest you do is, find, a sanctuary. A sanctuary that'll nurture you in the Word of Christ. And it doesn't have to be a church. Just like right now, how the church doors are closed. Right now, you just need a sanctuary. And the sanctuary right here that we provide, we're a church without walls here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And you can just continue to join us until you can find that church home. If you can't find that church home, just continue to listen to us. We broadcast almost each and every night that we're able to broadcast. We broadcast each and every day, and we sometimes broadcast in the morning for morning word of inspiration. So if you want to learn how to do that, first of all, I'm going to give you our email address, which is at Purpose Kingdom Network, purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Purpose Kingdom. We can see our upcoming shows and our advertisements. We greatly appreciate if you share with your friends. We just are overjoyed and we're glad with our listeners, whether you're calling us on the phone or you're listening to us online, no matter where in the world you're listening to us. We greatly appreciate your listenership and we thank you so much. Also, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Let's Talk About It, hosted by our new trio of hosts, Reverend Burgess, Sister Adrian, and Sister James. And please feel free to tell a friend. Don't forget what God's doing, God's blessing. We'll be broadcasting tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Let's Talk About It with Reverend Burgess, Sister Adrian, and Sister James. And anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety, and that's convenient. And then also on any of our social media pages, you can go to our Morning Word of Inspiration, which is on Anchor.com or Anchor FM. Simply type in Purpose Kingdom, and also you get a word of inspiration in the AM. And we just thank you so much for those that have shared with your friends, and we thank you so much. And Sister Antonia, I'm ready to hand the show back over to your hands, but I just want to let you know, I just want to just add a comment, which you were saying about the stimulus, everything like unemployment and some of the things that, that people are, aware of that, as far as the services. But one of the things as far as like, with our government, it's full of smoke and mirrors. And, even though they are giving us, certain things, and as far as they're extending the unemployment, they're increasing unemployment, and they have given out that stimulus that it seems not to have. But one of the things that we don't, understand is that all throughout, our time working here, this is not a communist country. This is a capitalist country. So even though the people don't work for the government, but the government works for the people, but one of the things that happens is that people are paying for the government. So it does seem so, just like unlike communist countries where they can just say, hey, this is the law, or this is how we change it, or this is martial law. You know, this country can't demand martial law, but they have with this quarantine. Even though I'm not saying that we should challenge the government, but what they're doing is they're saying that, you know, they're giving us something, but we already paid for this. You know, we already paid for this. We've seen this happen during 9/11. And they constantly say, hey, we need to take more taxes out because we need to prepare for in case somebody attacks our country. And for years and years, we're paying for the emergency broadcast system. But when 9/11 happened, we never heard that through the system. No, we had news coverage. And, you know, that's one of the things that people have to understand is that, you know, unlike communist countries, you know, they get what they pay for. The government is going to step in. But when the government steps in after we pay for something, I think that's wrong. That's just my point of view. And Sister Antonia, I'm going to turn the show back over to your hands.
Thank you very much, Brother Rob. You know, I'm glad you came up with one of the many answers that people can hopefully be able to digest and learn from, because I don't look forward to being able to offer a solution or the answers to everybody's questions, because obviously I'm not the authority. But, you know, when we share information, hopefully we can eventually evolve into a state where we can learn how to trust the government even more, because not everybody's up to no good regarding all of this. And I think people have became pessimists because they felt as though they weren't getting any answers, and the lines they were told to go on the internet for this, that it was supposed to be something that they were to receive in order to resolve all of their ills. I don't have the answers, but it was a question that came up because they're talking about a second stimulus. Some are concerned that they didn't get the first one, and so what is it with the second one? They won't get that also? You can understand the paranoia. But I told them, sit back, because they said it will come. I said, you know, I know some people don't like to watch the news, but it won't hurt. If they felt they have any questions, go to your political offices or your representatives for your town or whatever, and somebody should be able to give them a legitimate answer of some type, not specifically when theirs will come, but, you know, letting them know that the lines and the ability for the government to send it out in the mail or however, or through their check system, or say through their debit system, is still going on. And I thank you so much for resolving that matter with me, Brother Rob, because a lot of people are in a state of paranoia if they haven't received their checks yet. So with that being said, I was hoping to introduce to you, well, first I'll mention the Killer Hornet. The Killer Hornet, it's been an issue about that as of maybe a couple or a few weeks ago, because it supposedly surfaced in the state of Washington on the west coast of the United States. Where and how it got here yet, I haven't heard anything further, but people need to be conscientious of it because they say it is about 4 to 5 times larger than the average bumblebee. It'll go into a beehive, decapitate it, and either use that decapitated head for the feeding of itself and or its young, you know, hornets, of course. So the defense mechanism of some bees would be, once it enters the honeycombs, it'll be hopped upon and by a crowd of bees and hopefully smothered or killed as well. But, you know, still there are massive amounts of them surfacing, which who's to say if they would outnumber bees or the beehive, and God forbid. And they will clean up after they take that hornet down, just to make sure that they'll, you know, attract the odor of other hornets, of course. So since then, it has never been told or updated as to what they've been doing to resolve the killer bee situation, killer hornet situation of the bees. But keep in mind, we can support them on a scientific level because, after all, those killer hornets can actually cut through the protective gear of a beekeeper. It has been known to attack the human beings and leave excruciating pain, probably bigger than a bee, an actual bee's, I'm sure, in some occasions. And last but not least, consider the amount of honey that people rely on as a source of food, nutrition, enjoyment all over the world, period. So we want to make sure we don't seem welcoming of those killer hornets if possible. And I'm sure we support the scientific community. Yes, and I would like to ask, considering this is the Memorial Day weekend, if we can say happy Memorial Day to a soldier who's been of the Army, Armed Forces, served in the Korean War, named James Earl Webb. He's from Philadelphia, and he has written a book, and he will tell you the name of his book. And one day, maybe we can get him to come on, and you'll be given a certain degree of information to cover the name of the book as he tell you a bit about himself and the evolution. Well, how are you, James Webb, and happy Memorial Day, along with Brother Rob, who's a latter veteran as well of the Army, if you don't mind my mentioning Brother Rob and myself, of course. So I just wanted to say we didn't forget you. And would you like to mention your name and the title of your book, please?
Yeah, my name is James L. Webb, and the name of the book is The Common Foe and the Racial Divide of America.
He said it was mentioned to be entitled The Common Foe and the Racial Divide of America. Thank you. Would you like to give about one or two sentences about what it's about?
Well, the book is about everybody. It's about everybody. God sets on everybody down there to find that peace that nothing can disturb. You know, still we come down here, we find wars, we find slavery, and all these other things are going on. And some of people just get to get away with it. So now everybody's suffering from something that we could have probably prevented. But when we, you know, when we as veterans, we don't have that power. I was in Vietnam. I was in Korea. I seen a friend of mine. He stayed in the hospital over here about 2 years. They couldn't even do nothing for him. He died. So, and then you got these selfish checks that's being sent out to these people. A lot of them haven't got them. So where are we going with this? We disrespecting the veterans. And it's not, it shouldn't be allowed to be that way. I mean, I was in Vietnam. I went to the wars. I've seen the things that we had to put up with. Then you come back here, I had the doctor tell me I didn't look like I had PTSD. I mean, how does it look? Then they had to drag me out of the office because I was so illiterate with this guy. I was getting ready to take him out of there. But they, I didn't put my hands on him because my guy took me out of there. But these are things you do with these hospitals. Reverend Joe's brother was in the hospital for about 20 years. Couldn't do nothing for him. So we got to be on top of these people all the time. If they have this check coming out, where is it? Why is it taking so long to get? We didn't have that time. We didn't have that kind of period, that wait time when we had to go respond to incidents and the wars and things like that. We did it all. And I pray for these guys out there in these battlefields, and I pray for the ones in the graveyard that died for this country.
Thank you very much. That was a veteran by the name of James Earl Webb here in Philadelphia, and he would just wanted to, like, you know, say happy Memorial Day to the other veterans as well. So with that being said, happy Memorial Day to you also. I just wanted
Thank
to say
you.
To you,
you.
You're welcome. Okay, so with that being said, everybody, we'll definitely be tuning in 1 month. And I want to thank Brother Robert Hudson and his lovely family for being there for us, and definitely Pastor Tallene Daly of Purpose Kingdom Network. And you all have a wonderful holiday, and bless you also for just being good citizens and good people across the world to be able to make sure that we still have people who cooperate and help each other in a case such as getting through things like this virus and so many other things that could possibly come about. Good night.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.